just, you know, the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And if, you know, you want to give thanks tonight for something God did for you or said to you, just come on up. Stand. I want you to stand here at the podium so that the recorder will pick you up. And speak loudly into the microphone, please. All right. Come on, Brother Jack. Just tell us what God did for you.
I didn't get to hear a whole lot of what she was saying, but what she did say blessed my heart. And all day long, I've thought about the 10 lepers that Jesus healed, and they all run off, but one of them turned around and give Jesus thanks. And I just want to be at least the one that comes and gives him thanks. To know that he is so sensitive to our prayers and our request and what's on our heart, it amazes me that as many millions and millions and millions of people that there are on earth, and he'll answer my prayer. I just, that's thank
awesome.
You.
Awesome. Praise God. That's good. Yeah, I mean, the different words were as different as many as thumbprints are in here, amen? Anybody else? Come on. Just come up. Tell us what God did for you. Brenda?
Well, I didn't tell anybody about the pain in my legs that was going on for a while. The knee got healed. There was different things, hip and things, but I was having this just tingling and just sensations in my legs, just like the muscles were contracting or whatever. It just was, you know, would just get really bad, and I would shift and shift. And anyways, wasn't sleeping good. Now, this has been going on for a while. So when she called that out, I was like, God, thank you. Because, you know, it's bad to say this, but you kind of, I was getting used to it, and that's terrible, because I wouldn't do that before, but I was just kind of getting used to it, like, well, you know, you hear people say, well, you're just getting old, and this and that, or maybe it's sugar, and it's inflammatory, or whatever, I don't want to deal with it. But when she called it out, and it was gone, I realized how I had been dealing with that, so praise God. And I want to add one more thing today about the services for Mom tomorrow. My sisters want to have it at a Catholic church, and so many things happened that was so awesome the Lord did this week. But when I went to this huge church, I've been there a couple of times when some of my sisters got married, but I didn't know where to go. I was trying to find which door and all this, and it was just, I said, Lord, okay. They said, go find Rebecca. So when I got in, I heard a lady in the kitchen, and I poked my head, and it's a lady, Beth, I've known for 25 years. She said, I'll help you out. So anyways, she gave me all the information and stuff I'll need, but anyways, that was just amazing.
You know, I'm glad she brought that up, because it gives me a launching pad to preach. You know, I'll take any cue. But, you know, in the Old Testament, the Bible says there was not one feeble among them. Now, I'm sure, come on, let's get real. Let's use our imagination here a little bit. Grandpa's been out there baking bricks, stacking bricks, carrying bricks for Pharaoh's pyramids for decades. And he gets freed from Egypt. And you tell me he didn't walk into the desert with some back trouble, with some, you know, fractured ribs, maybe some wounds that hadn't healed because he'd been whipped so many times by those Pharaoh taskmasters. And the Bible says when they came out from under the blood of the lamb, right? They had the Passover meal that night before. They put the blood on the doorpost. The next day, boom, they're leaving Egypt. God supernaturally heals them. And he brings up to date their bodies. Now, I love that testimony, Brenda, because you're exactly right. Sometimes people, they accept a pain or accept a this or accept a that as this is just growing old. Well, not in the kingdom, it's not. Nope. We can be supernaturally sustained, pain-free, trouble-free until our final breath. That's our faith in Jesus' name in this church. And we're going to have some stout older people, okay, because we're taking hold of that word, and it's a promise. And if the Bible says we have a better covenant than they, under the old covenant, they were walking supernaturally in that desert without pain, without, you know, quote unquote, old people symptoms for 40 years. God supernaturally sustained them, so we can trust the Lord to supernaturally sustain us. Amen? That's good. That's a good word. That'll preach. All right, who's next? Linda, come on.
as you all know, some of you, it's been 3 years since I broke my neck. And so during that time, I've had, that was C1, which is the first vertebrae right under your brain. C2 would have made me a paraplegic. So since then, C3 and C4 have deteriorated. So I've had an MRI and a CAT scan done so that they can do surgery because they're going to have to fuse the bones together. Well, I had been reading last week my report, and it talked about pinching and pinching, you know, the nerve that runs up and down my spine. So when she said, well, I see these sparks, and they kind of cut off, and they kind of cut off, and they kind of cut off. Well, I knew exactly what she was talking about, because there is a, I don't know what you call it, the pinching, I don't know what you call it. But anyway, can y'all tell that I'm so different?
Yes.
I can hold my head up straight. I can look up, which I couldn't do forever. And I can turn and turn. And it, the only thing I've been having to deal with this week is muscles. Because I've gotten used to doing this, I've had to think, hold your head up straight, like you have a book on top of your head. I'm having to make my muscles work again, and they weren't used to working. So it's been amazing, a blessing, and I'm just so excited about it. And then on top of all that, we got to go have lunch with Jan and Suzette, and we had such a wonderful time, and God blessed us, and blessed us, and blessed us. So I really appreciate God. He's just a wonderful, wonderful God, and He loves us so much. And there's just nothing we can do to give back, because He just keeps giving and giving and giving.
Oh, that's awesome. I could dance over that one. Who else? Anybody else? Judy, come on.
Well, at the women's meeting, one of the things that she had said to me was, and I don't remember the exact words, I was just so excited about everything. And but she was talking about how I would be able to pray for people, to go up and pray for people, and that the Holy Spirit would give me the words that I need. And that's been something that has always held me back. I want to pray for people so bad, but I always felt like I just don't have those eloquent words. I thought I didn't have the words. And but she brought that out and told me that I would. And one of the things that the Holy Spirit had said was to dive into the Word. Just dive into it. And I've been following the church's little card and reading the Bible every day. And I've got 5 other books on my kitchen table that are devotionals and stuff. Gloria Copeland's one about using your... Anyway, that I read a little of that every day. And I feel it. I feel like, I'm learning and growing. And I may not be where I want to be yet, but I'm on my way. And that really touched my heart when she said that. And then, of course, Sunday, when she prayed for me, and then she prayed for David, and of course, I was still standing there, so she knew we were married and put our hands together and prayed for both of us. And one of the first things that came out of her mouth was that God knew we were looking for a home. Nobody could have known that except the Holy Spirit. And the thing that touched me was that I've always known we were going to get it, you know. But there's always something that seems to kind of pull a little doubt in from over here, and a little doubt over here. You see how much it's going to cost. And but when she said that, it was like this wave of encouragement came over me, and I think it did David too. And it's like, there's no doubt anymore. And I can even speak it out. We're going to have a barn dominium. We are. And I don't feel like, in, you know, insides, well, I hope we will or something. I know we will. Because she confirmed it there. And we're going to have that new concrete. So.
Praise God. Who else? Awesome. Becca? You want to come up here? Come on.
That's not fair.
Come on. She got that look like I want to go next. So she just.
But you know, I cry. I can't
we can edit that
cry.
Out. We can edit the crying out. So.
But I can't talk when I cry. Well, I was just awestruck with that meeting Saturday and Sunday. And I really was appreciative of the fact that we're going to get a new church. We need a new building. And she proclaimed that for us. So that's what I'm thankful for.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Short and sweet. We didn't even catch a tear there. That's good. That's good. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Good promises spoken. Amen. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Keith, come on.
No, I just want to say, I don't know a whole lot about everybody here, but me personally and my daughter Danielle, what I do know about the stuff that Dr. Burt said over me and my daughter and a couple other people that I know a little bit about was just right on. Nobody would have known it but God, and it was just a Sunday morning. It was a thus saith the Lord morning.
Great things. Great things happening there in that family. We're so excited. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Well, yeah, I mean, I got the privilege of being like the, what do you call it? I don't know. Yeah, I got to be the fly on the wall because I know, see, Terry and I, we would take them out to dinner. We didn't talk about any of y'all. So when they came into the meeting, they knew nothing. As Schultz would say, I know nothing. And that's the way they like it, because that way they know that when they start operating in that flow with the Holy Spirit, it's with integrity. It's you know, not based on human knowledge. Well, I know this about that person, therefore I'm going to speak it. They know nothing about y'all. We told them afterwards. Now, we'd take them out to a meal and, you know, talk about this or that, but it was always after the fact. So that integrity was there. But it was just exciting for us to see God speak to each of you, pinpoint where you're at, and minister so lovingly to you. And it's just, you know, we're going to have more times like that. We're committed to that. Just bring in those kind of ministry gifts and just see the people of God blessed. That's what we need. Remember I told you a week or two ago that when it says in the Old Testament that when the people were building the temple, I think it's in the book of Zechariah, it says that the people prospered under the prophesying of Haggai and Zechariah. They prospered under their prophesying. And so when you sit under the message of prophecy, whether it be personal prophecy or just the declaration of God's word in a flow under the Holy Spirit anointing, you're prospering your life by being there. So I was real encouraged by all y'all's attendance. I mean, I looked up at one point, I'm watching the clock on the back wall, I'm going, 12:30. 1 o'clock, 1:15, and nobody left. Everybody stayed. I mean, I was just so blessed. It's like, exactly. I know it. Who would want to leave, right? And that's, you know, so I was just thrilled, so thrilled. Terry and I were talking a day later. I think it was Monday afternoon after I'd gone to work. We were talking, or maybe Tuesday. No, it was Monday. And I, you know, for us personally, there were some things that we saw, and I just declared, you know, about a certain situation that I knew of that God dealt with in those meetings, and I said, you know, God just brought his wrecking ball and just wrecked the works of Satan in that person's life. And as we were sharing, then Terry said, yeah, that person actually told me that by their words. I mean, that was actually the way the person described it, talking to Terry, was that God had taken like a wrecking ball and just shattered things that had been like a, you know, a wall in this person's life. And then she went on to share something with me about an encounter she had. And I wanted her to share it first person regarding her wrecking ball. So the wrecking ball.
Yeah, so a couple of days before the meeting, I'm driving over by the mall area, and I'm in my car at a red light that was taking forever. And I had my Andrew Womack healing teaching on. I was listening to it, and I kept hearing this sound behind me, and it was like, boom, boom. And it just kept doing that. And finally, I thought, what is that? So I turned my radio off. There's a wrecking ball. And there was a bank right on the corner of Bay Area and that little road that goes where Toys R Us and Lazy Boy right there. There was a bank there. Well, they've torn it down. Well, I guess there was like, I don't know if it was the ATM machine or the vault that was in there, but everything was torn down. That whole, it's flattened now. But there was just this maybe 10 by 10 structure, and it was maybe about 12 feet tall. And this huge crane had this wrecking ball, and he was hitting it over and over. And it wasn't, I was shocked at how many times that guy had hit that thing, and it was still sitting there. And he kept hitting it. Well, at this point, I'm going, don't turn green, because I need to watch this. He kept hitting it, and it was like little pieces would come off. And he was, I guess he was just breaking down the structure of it, and he just kept hitting it. And finally, he hit it, and then this huge crack. I'm completely turned around now, and I'm looking at this thing. But it just, and then he started hitting it, and it just started crumbling. And I said, it was just odd to me that I saw that, heard it, and then we started talking about the wrecking ball thing, and it was, I thought, that's what God was showing me, that he was going to be the Holy Spirit wrecking ball, and the things that had us in bondage, Holy Spirit came in, and he's like, a little bit at a time, a little bit at a time, where our heart is hard, he's just going to beat it and hit it, and then he's just going to come in and hit that final blow and just flatten those things that are negative things in our life, so his kingdom. And I know they're going to build something new there, so to me that was just like a story of God building new things in our life that he wants there. So that's my wrecking ball story.
Yeah, this goes right along with that illustration. This is from Jeremiah 23:29. The Lord is talking, and he says, is not my word, Jeremiah 23:29, is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. Jeremiah 23:29. Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? God's asking a question. He's saying, isn't this what my word's like? And of course, the rhetorical answer, I mean, it's a rhetorical question, but the answer is a resounding yes, of course, it's like a fire and like a hammer. But you know, I want to say this about the gifts of the Spirit. This is really something that I observed. You know, people get in that atmosphere where the gifts of the Spirit are moving, and sometimes we tend to think, oh, God's going to expose me. Oh, God's going to embarrass me. Oh, God's going to say something that I did naughty last week, you know, or whatever. Because, and people get a little spooked sometimes in the presence of the Lord when he start operating like that. Did you notice how lovingly the Holy Spirit moves, that he never brings to light something that will embarrass somebody like that? It just, not publicly, that's not the ministry of the Holy Spirit. His ministry there is to edify, comfort, exhort. Edify, comfort, exhort. Build up, comfort, exhort. Exhort means to pull you along, you know, like saying, come on, come on, you got this. That's like a personal trainer saying, come on, one more press, one more press. You know, that's what the word exhort means. It means, come on, you got this, one more time. And that's what the ministry of the Holy Spirit does. He never embarrasses, humiliates, you know. Now, if someone needs humbling, I mean, there are times prophets come to people I know that are just, you know, unrepentant, and that's a different story. But for the most part, anytime we bring in a ministry gift like this, you're just not going to see that. You're going to see this loving, amazing word of God spoken to you. And it usually, it's kind of like Gideon's experience, where the angel came to Gideon and he said, hail thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon's like, who are you talking to? Right? I mean, that's the way God talks to us, because he sees us the ways he's making us. I'll say that again. He sees us the way he's making us. We see ourselves in process. God sees the end result. Right? Pretty cool, huh? All right. Anybody else before I get to talking? Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome, Linda. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, that's our desire, is to bring in some big guns now and then that just really bless our socks off. Amen? I think that's what happened. Praise the Lord. Why don't you turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16. God is doing great things in us. And 2019 is going to be an amazing year. Part of what He spoke to us at the beginning of the year is as you really are. God is helping us to see ourselves as we really are. Amen? That's what He's been speaking from January, from the beginning of New Year's. And part of that idea from 1 Corinthians 5, where He talked about that, is that He said He's pulling out of us. He's wanting us to get rid of all the yeast of malice and wickedness, right? So that we can be a lump of dough free of yeast as we really are. And again, that means that God sees us that way. He sees you perfect, without yeast, without wickedness, without malice. That's the way He sees us. And then Paul, just in his exhortation to the Corinthian church, he says, now just be this, because this is who you really are. But that's not where I'm going tonight. Let's look at Matthew chapter 16 and verse, let's back up to verse 13. Oh, by the way, let me give you some context on this, because this is really fascinating. Terry and I were privileged to be in Israel last summer for the first time ever. It was just an amazing trip of a lifetime, kind of blessing from God. And one of the most fascinating experiences we had while we were there is being at this place. It's called Caesarea Philippi. You heard of that? Caesarea Philippi? There's Caesarea, which is right on the Mediterranean Sea. It's like Galveston. It's like being right on the seawall. And then Caesarea Philippi would be like being in, maybe in Alvin, or you know, that far inland. But the names are similar. Caesarea Philippi. Well, at Caesarea Philippi is where this story takes place. Takes place in Matthew chapter 16. And in that story, when we were actually on the trip, we were there, they took us to this place, and there's this big rock. It's like a kind of a small mountain, like a molehill, really. It's like about 30, 40 feet high, it seemed like. But there was this cave that they had excavated at the base of this, what I call a small mountain. And in that cave, they had all these, they had discovered altars where they did like blood sacrifice. These were the Romans that occupied Israel during that time. They would do, you know, human sacrifices, just worshiping the god of Pan, and just horrible stuff. Horrible rituals were going on there. Well, we were right there in the neighborhood, if you will, right in the forest, right near this mountain where they worshiped the god of Pan, the Romans did. And we're right in the very vicinity where Jesus quotes this. And so it really brought it home in the sense that Jesus was right in the jaws of the dragon. He went right to the very place, and I could just see him sitting down having a picnic lunch with his disciples as he alludes to this story we're going to read in Matthew 16. But they're right there, you know, within yards or feet of this cave where all this horrible stuff had been going on. And Jesus, you know, I've always told you, if he lived in Alvin in modern times, he'd have a truck with a bumper sticker on the back that said, "Ain't scared," okay? Because he's not afraid of anything. And so he's right there in the midst of Satan's domain. And this is what he says, Matthew 16:13. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" And they replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Verse 16, Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter. On this rock, this revelation that you've just received," that's what that means, not on Peter, but on the revelation that Peter received, "I will build my church, and the gates of Hades," or hell, "will not overcome it." Now, he was right at the very gates of hell, if you will, in terms of vicinity, when he's saying this. Right there in the neighborhood, if you will, where the most hellacious idol worship was going on. And he's saying, the gates of hell will not prevail against this church that has this revelation of who I am. "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he warned his disciples not to tell anyone he was the Christ. So I don't have a sermon tonight, guys. I really wanted to allow for testimony, but this verse has been coming, bubbling up in Terry and bubbling up in me. It just seems to be kind of surrounding us. And I just wanted to say this. I heard this said the other day, and it really shook me. It said, anything that we see in the earth that we're not happy with, we need to stop as God's people and really examine things, because anything that's going on that we're not happy with, that we don't think is just, we don't think is right, it's going on because somebody, what? Allowed it, permitted it. And guess who that somebody is? It's the church. We have authority. Jesus said here, I'm giving you the keys to the kingdom. You have authority so that whatever you bind, in other words, whatever you forbid, I like to use that more modern concept of when we say binding, it's a little bit vague in our modern lingo, but if you say to forbid or to halt or put a stop to, that's what Jesus is saying. Whatever you put a stop to on earth, it will be stopped in heaven. Now that we tend to think of heaven as a real far off place, but remember this about eternity. Heaven is not limited by what? Time. We know it's not limited by time or space. What's the difference between our world and heaven? In our world, we're limited by time and space, right? In heaven, they're not limited by time or space. So we tend to think of heaven as way far off. Oh, if we bind it here on earth, well, maybe the message will get to heaven next week by telegram because it's so far away, way out in the universe. But they're not limited. Heaven's this close. The spirit realm is this close. And when we were visiting with the Burts, you know, they said, remember, when you're binding spirits, when you're praying, because we were asking them, how do you pray over certain situations? Like we were telling about a certain situation in a person's life. And we said, how do we deal with that in the spirit? And they said, remember, don't forget that the spirit realm is not limited by space. In other words, you pray here, that spirit that's way, you know, harassing this person way, you know, two or three cities away, it gets dealt with over there. Amen? So you pray here, but it gets dealt with there. Or you say, I bind that spirit in Jesus' name. Well, boom, that arrow gets pierced through that spirit's heart two or three cities away because it's not limited by space. The spirit realm's not limited by space. Make sense? As much as we can comprehend it in our little Newton brain here. The spirit realm's not limited. And so when we say what we bind on earth is bound in heaven, in the heavenly realm. In other words, the spirit realm makes it so, right? Because we know that if we were to say we bind injustice, or we were to say we forbid the innocent killing of babies, for example, okay? There's a lot of talk on this in the news lately. Big, big, big. It's right on the front page, not only in the secular news, but also in the Christian world. Christians are concerned about, hey, we got to put a stop to this. We got to promote life, right? And so what we say, let's say we're praying for something like that. We say we forbid such and such related to abortion and the, you know, the killing of life, innocent life. And we forbid it in the spirit. Well, when we forbid it here on earth, in the spirit realm echoes what we do. And we know that the spirit realm is what makes the thing so. If we're going to see a change happen in our society in any area, whether it's politics, you know, abortion issue, whatever the quote-unquote issue is, it's going to have to happen first by the church taking authority. Secondly, the spirit realm is going to have to be in agreement with us, and the spirit realm is going to be what makes it so. Because when God gets involved, hallelujah, right? We just talked about the wrecking ball. So when the spirit realm gets involved, the wrecking ball comes, the steamroller, the steam shovel, the backhoe, whatever was needed to get the job done, the spirit realm makes it so. But it begins with us, the church, taking those keys that the Lord gave us. And he's given it to all believers. This is not just for the preacher. Preachers are here to train you to do it, to do the work of the ministry. And the work of the ministry is just what we just read about. Binding on earth, things that should not be happening. Forbidding, putting a halt to things on earth that should not be happening. Let me give you an example. Years ago, Terry was working for an aerospace company, and a lady in the company was really, really, she had health responses to smoking in the office environment. And back in the day, Terry was working like in the accounting department, so they didn't have offices separating. They had little cubicles, and so if you know, Joe Blow over here decides to light one up, well, that secondhand smoke just comes right over the top of the cubicle, and everybody around him is breathing. It's pretty, you know, pretty rough on the people that are non-smokers. And so this lady that she worked with, I don't even know if she was a Christian. I don't remember if she was or not. Wasn't really a church-related issue. It was a health-related issue. But she went on the warpath to eliminate smoking in the workplace. And this is back before, you know, now we have so many restaurants and things that are smoke-free environments. But boy, she sacrificed, and it actually wound up being to the detriment of her job. She lost her job over it. But she fought and fought and fought and fought. And then the news came on the scene after she lost her job. Some of the news people came around, interviewed Terry about it, and different people. And, you know, it made a ruckus, but, you know, the company at the time wasn't too appreciative of the ruckus she made about it. But in time, she won the battle. And, you know, of course, we went on. It was interesting to watch because that little experience that she had encountered firsthand in a workplace. And then we went on to see years later here in Alvin, you know, smoke-free restaurants and blah, blah, blah. So I just say that to say this. Sometimes it feels like a David-Goliath battle. And you're in a situation, you think, can I really make a difference? Can I really make a difference? But see, Jesus says, I've given you the keys to the kingdom. In other words, you have the keys to affect change in this realm based on what you, the authority I've given you that affects the spirit realm. It gets, when you get the spirit realm involved, things happen. Amen? I'm talking about God's spirit realm, where we have authority. And Jesus said, you have it. He's telling his disciples this. Not far from where we were there at Caesarea Philippi, up on the Golan Heights mountains, there's a kind of like in England they have Stonehenge, you know, those rock formations. There's a huge rock formation up on one of these mountains. It's 600 feet in diameter. It's like a circle made of rocks this high, like up to a man's chin. And they're stacked. These are big, like bowling ball size rocks. They said there's like over, I don't know, 40, 50,000 rocks that somebody, those poor slaves, drug up the mountains. I mean, it's on top of a plateau, up on top of this mountain. And they built this huge, it's like a ritual burial ground. And again, it just kind of accentuates how much demonic activity. We tend to think of the Holy Land as being holy, but Satan knows how holy the Holy Land is. And he had his people at the same time or even before Jesus came on the scene, because this particular rock formation, they say, is as old as the Wall of China. It's like 5,000-6,000 years old, way before Jesus got there. People were worshiping demons and stuff up in Israel on the mountains. And so again, it just reiterates this Matthew 16 passage, how Jesus was just comfortable sitting out on a picnic, you know, on a bright sunny day there in the midst of Satan, quote unquote, Satan's domain, where Satan had tried to claim turf. And Jesus says, I'm going to build my church, and the gates won't stop us. What do the gates mean? You know, we tend to think of, oh, the gates of hell, you know, that Satan's going to come after us. No, we're supposed to storm the gates. We're supposed to take the turf. We're supposed to take the territory. That's what Jesus is saying. Those gates will not keep us back from us breaking through and us taking hold and us having dominion. Well, praise God. Well, that's what we saw just a little bit of this weekend. We saw God's wrecking ball at work in all of our lives. Amen. And where there's fears, where there's hesitations, where there's this, that, and the other, you know, God just stepped in, pulled that stuff out of your hearts, amen, through the word of prophecy. Linda got actually a physical healing, praise the Lord. I think Nancy also got a touch. There was a great testimony that Nancy gave Terry after her leg was prayed for Monday. She saw some quick changes in her health. So just awesome things are happening. That's God's realm at work, taking charge of our life, amen. Isn't that good? Well, won't you stand together with me? And I just want to encourage you this week as you go out to literally take the keys of the kingdom and ask the Lord, say, Lord, what is it you want to change in my environment, my world? How can I change? How can I be a catalyst, if you will, where I'm at, right here where I'm at, whether it's in the workplace, your neighborhood? You know, if you got noisy dogs in your neighbor's house two or three doors down and they're just wrecking the peace, hey, you're an instrument. You can step into that realm and say, I bind, I forbid disturbing of the peace in my neighborhood. Why? Because it's your turf. It's your turf. You can take charge. Amen? So, Father, I thank you that you've given us the keys, the authority of the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the immense power that you've put in our hands as the church to change our world, to see change come. I thank you that you've given us this promise and you've left in our hands the ability to see change come for the good. And we just take those keys by faith tonight, Lord. And we just thank you that through us, your church, you're bringing about on earth heaven as it was on earth. And just as it is in heaven, Father, we agree to that prayer. So let it be on earth. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.